it's an humbling thing whenever you realize your need for Christ as your personal Savior and you accept Him into your heart. And then when you accept people into the body of Christ, you're made aware all over again that if it were not for the power of this Jesus that I'm going to be talking about this morning, we would all be in a terrible position. And the people that don't know who Jesus is, they are missing so much in their life. But there are people out there that have no clue who Jesus is. And today I want to identify who He is. Who is Jesus? If you ask a group of people, even we that are here, who is Jesus? You would probably get a list of answers a mile long. If you ask a small child who Jesus is, they would probably tell you that, oh, He's that baby that was born at Christmas time. Or I heard somebody say one time, well, isn't that one of Santa Claus's children? No. It's established that throughout the ages that there have been approximately 60 billion people that have walked on the planet Earth. And very few, precious few, of this 60 billion people have ever made a lasting impression that changed the world. But among those who have, there's one person that stands head and shoulders above all others. His name is Jesus. And though it's been, over 2,000 years since He was here, there's never a minute that goes by on this earth that millions are not studying what Jesus said. He never wrote a book, but libraries are filled with books about Him. He never painted a picture, but some of the world's greatest art, some of the world's greatest dramas, some of the world's greatest music, some of the world's greatest literature, all of this is centered around one man, Jesus Christ. To explain Jesus Christ today would be impossible. To ignore Jesus Christ would be disastrous. To reject Jesus Christ, my friend, will be fatal. To know Jesus Christ is to love Him. And to love Him is to trust Him. And to trust Him is to be dramatically and eternally changed. God does have a son. God called Him my dear son, my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 27, Jesus reveals Himself as being the Son of God. At that time, Jesus said, I thank You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because You have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was Your gracious will. All things have been handed over to Me by My Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Nobody knows my Father but myself, and you can't know him unless I introduce him to you. You're never going to figure God out. The finite cannot understand the infinite. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 16, Peter tells Jesus, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." During his time on earth, some people thought that Jesus was possibly John the Baptist come back. They thought he may be Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And even today, there are millions of people that consider him, he was a good man, he was a good teacher, he had some great ideas, but they don't know him as the Son of the living God. In John chapter 10, verses 30, Jesus says, "The Father and I are one." There's one thing I want you to remember from today's sermon, and that is that Jesus reveals to us his Father. Jesus reveals the Father. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. This passage of Scripture today presents one of the most significant studies that has ever been made of Christ in the New Testament. It reveals the central place and purpose of Jesus in both the physical realm and the spiritual realm. It gives us a clear understanding of the supremacy of Jesus, the preeminence in all of God's creation. This verse of Scripture in Colossians was written by the Apostle Paul while he was still in prison. And this took place not just a short while before Paul was executed. Paul links the lordship of Christ from the beginning of creation all the way to eternity. In other words, everything that happened is centered around Jesus Christ. He assures us that Jesus Christ is supreme. He's Lord over all of the world. He's Lord over everything. He's Lord over the material things that we have in our life. He's Lord over the spiritual things in our life. He's the reconciler and the restorer of all things. In other words, there's nothing going to happen that God, his son Jesus, is not involved in. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6, Paul says, "There is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things come and through whom we live." Now back in Colossians, the first chapter, verse 15, Paul is still talking about Jesus Christ. Verse 15 says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creation. God is spirit. He is invisible. He is unimaginable and unapproachable." Well, how are we to know God if we can't see, we can't walk up to him and shake his hand? How are we to know God? Scripture tells us that God's Son, Jesus, is the image of this invisible God that we're talking about. In the first chapter of the book of John, John wrote these words, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The invisible God became visible when he took on flesh and blood and bone to become human. Jesus said, anyone that has seen me has seen the Father. You are going to know God only by revelation of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has come today to reveal God to each of us. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, did Jesus not say, I am the light, I am? No. He says, did he say, I'm a light, I'm a way? No. Jesus said, I am the light, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Jesus is saying, folks, I'm it. Here I am. God was manifest in the flesh when Jesus Christ was conceived. The next thing I want you to remember is that Jesus rules the future. This is not history. Jesus rules the future. In verses 16 and 17, Paul is still talking about Jesus. Verse 16, he says, for in him all things in heaven and earth were created, things visible, things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. If we didn't have Jesus, don't you think everything would fall apart? It would be just like I can't even imagine what it would be like if we didn't have Jesus, because this power of God and his son Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is keeping all the stars hanging up there and not hitting the earth. It's keeping all the molecules that are in our body from just going, whoof, and there we go. It's holding us all together. It's not some force. I couldn't help but think of Star Wars. It's not the force that's keeping us together. It's not the force out there that's sustaining creation. But one person is doing it today. The Christ who died on the cross of Calvary is what is keeping us together today. There's a man named William R.L. Haley that puts it this way. The attributes of God were visible in their fullness on the day that Jesus died. God's nature poured out on Golgotha in a cosmic flood of revelation, and the world quaked. Justice was done. Mercy was granted. Redemption was accomplished. Power was displayed. Holiness was vindicated. Community was reestablished. Perfect wisdom was demonstrated, and love ran wild. God ripped the veil of the invisible and sang through the life, death, and resurrection of his Son. Here I am. This is what I look like. Worship me. Now, man, that guy had either really studied the scripture, he had a vivid imagination, or he had one more close walk with Jesus Christ. And I would like to think that it was the latter. Because when you think of all the things that this man has described, there's something wrong if you don't feel the presence of this invisible God that I'm talking about. Verse 16 is talking about this Jesus, the one who rules the universe. He not only has the whole world in his hands, as we sang about a while ago, he's got the past, he's got the present, and he's got our future in the palm of his hand. I know every one of us at one time or another have wondered, what in the world is this world coming to? Folks, it's coming to Jesus. And I want it to be here at Bethel that they find him. I want us to go out into the highways and the hedges and tell people, hey, I figured out who Jesus is. He's over there at Bethel United Methodist Church. I'm like you, Brother Law, and I want to see a lot of people joining Bethel. Not just joining the church, but joining the kingdom of God. Who is this Jesus? All things were created for him and by him. Jesus is the one that feeds the fuel to the sun that lights our planet. Jesus is the one who guides the planets in their orbit around the sun. Jesus is the one who has set out all of the stars. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26, it says that he bringeth out their host, talking about the stars, by number, and he calleth them all by names. You know, there's a thing you see about once or twice a year that you can call this number and pay a certain amount and name a star after your husband or wife or girlfriend or boyfriend, whatever. Too late, folks. That's already been done. In Isaiah chapter 40, Jesus has named the stars. So we missed out on that. Jesus did it. Amen. He is the preserver of all creation. He guides it all. He's in control of everything. Now, if you will, look at verse 18. He's the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. When the world looks at Jesus and they ask, what is Jesus like? We should be able to tell a person that wants to know about Jesus that, well, look at the church. The church is the body of Christ. We're to be like Jesus. And if we are, God will reveal Jesus to these inquiring minds. You may not think of the church as being perfect like Jesus is, but we're all that it's got going for us. We're not perfect like Jesus. Jesus is all that we have going for us. But folks, Jesus is the best thing that we will ever have going for us. Jesus is as good as it gets. Like him, like Jesus, like our Heavenly Father, we need to show love. We need to pursue holiness. We need to speak truth, enjoy beauty, create community, maintain unity, practice wisdom, and show love. That's what Jesus did. In the book of Ezekiel, Jesus is a wonderful four-faced man. In Daniel, he's the fourth man in the middle of the fiery furnace. In Hosea, he's my love that forever is faithful. In the book of Joel, he baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. In Amos, he's our burden bearer. In Obadiah, he's our Savior. In the book of Jonah, he's the great foreign missionary that takes the word of God into all the world. In Micah, he's a messenger with beautiful feet. In Naaman, he is the avenger. In Habakkuk, he's a watchman that is ever praying for revival. In Zephaniah, he's the Lord mighty to save. In Haggai, he's the restorer of our lost heritage. In Zechariah, he is our fountain. In Malachi, he's the son of righteousness with healing in his wings. In the book of Matthew, Jesus says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. I'm not the God of the dead, but I am the God of the living. Are you alive today? Amen. Jesus is your God. Jesus Christ is our Savior. He is our answer. Everything that He was to all of these people throughout the history of the Bible, He can be to us today if we will just open our hearts and our minds to Him. I'm not the God of the dead, but I am the God of the living. In the book of Mark, He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in Me will never be thirsty. Remember that woman at the well? That's what Jesus told her. He says, if you knew who I was, you would ask Me for a drink of this water, this living water, that you will never be thirsty again. In the book of John, Jesus is portrayed as the door. He's portrayed as the good shepherd. He is the resurrection and the life, the truth. He is the true vine. John saw exactly who Jesus was. In the book of Acts, the presence and the power of the Father and the Son are shown as the comforting power of the Holy Spirit. This power of the Trinity that we believe in and that we talk about enables us to be witnesses to the grace of this God, to the grace of Jesus Christ. In the book of Revelation, it says, I am Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. In chapter 19 of the verse of the book of Revelation, Jesus is a rider on the white horse. His rider is called Faithful and True and Righteous. And He judges and He makes war. He's described as being the Word of God. In chapter 22, Jesus is the River of Life. I want to leave you today with one question. If someone asks you, who is Jesus? What would your response be? The writer of practically all of our hymns have answered that question for us today over and over again. Jesus is the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star, the comforter that has come. He's the streams of living water. He's God on the mountain. He's our mighty fortress. Christ is the King. He will take care of you, and He is our gentle shepherd. Have you accepted Christ today as your personal Savior? He is our Redeemer. He's our source. He's it in a nutshell. Let us worship Him. He's our Redeemer. He's our Deliverer. And He is our soon coming King. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we're so humbled by all that You are to us. You're always there for us. You're our Father. You're our Mother. You're our Brother. You're our Sister. You're our Comforter. You're our Lead. But most of all, You're our Savior. Father, come into our hearts and renew our spirits and our minds with Your love and Your grace. Forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings. And help us, Lord, to be able to reach out and to tell everybody that we come in contact with that we know who this Jesus is, because He lives within our hearts. Father, we thank You for this day, for being able to come together to worship You. In Jesus' name, amen.